नारायणा नमस्कृत्य नरोम चैवम नरोत्तमम देवीम सरस्वती व्यासम ततो जयम उदीरयत् नश्च प्रायश्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरीबॉडी ऑन द कॉल हरे कृष्णा दिस मॉर्निंग्स टेक्स्ट इज फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 Chapter 23 by Maharaj Pitu Going Home, Text 10. Bhagavadamina Sadho Shradaya Yatata Sada Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani Anyaya Vishaya Bhavat. So word for word translation. Bhagavad Dharmina, one who executes devotional service. Sadho, of the devotee. Shradaya, with faith. Yatata, endeavoring. Sada, always. Bhakti, devotion. Bhagavati, unto the personality of Godhead. Brahmani, the origin of impersonal Brahman. Ananya Vishaya, firmly fixed without deviation. Abhavat became. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Pritu, thus engaged completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to principles, 24 hours daily. Thus, his love and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, developed and became unflinching and fixed. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word Bhagavad Dharmina indicates that the religious process practiced by Maharaj Pritu was beyond all pretensions. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 2, Dharma Projita Kaitavo Tra. Religious principles which are simply pretentious are actually nothing but cheating. Bhagavad Dharmina is described by Viraragava Acharya as Nivrita Dharmina, which indicates that it cannot be contaminated by material aspiration. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anya Bilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Text 167. When one who is not inspired by material desires and is not contaminated by the process of fruitive activity and empiric speculation fully engages in the favorable service of the Lord, his service is called Bhagavad Dharma or pure devotional service. In this verse, the word Brahmani does not refer to the impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman is a subordinate feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since impersonal Brahman worshippers desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence, they cannot be considered followers of Bhagavad Dharma. After being baffled in his material enjoyment, the impersonalist may desire to merge into the existence of the Lord. But a pure devotee of the Lord has no such desire. Therefore, a pure devotee is really Bhagavad Dharmi. It is clear from this verse that Maharaj Pritu was never a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman, but was at all times a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavati Brahmani refers to one who is engaged in the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee's knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically revealed, and he is not interested in merging into the impersonal Brahman. Maharaj Prithu's activities in devotional service enabled him to become fixed and steady in the discharge of devotional service activities without having to take recourse to karma, jnana, or yoga. Om Agena Timirandasya Jnana Gena Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrinda Vineshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swamini Iti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guratishe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divacha Vishindaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna everyone. So here's the text again, translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Prithu thus engaged completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to principles, 24 hours daily. Thus, his love and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, developed and became unflinching and fixed. Hare Krishna. So, a lot to learn from Maharaj Prithu's behavior. Since he was born, or since he appeared, this is a better way to put it, with his wife Archie, he had demonstrated superior qualities, wonderful qualities, certainly way better than King Vena, who caused so much problems. He was a king just before Maharaj Prithu came. Citizens are very happy. So many things have been done right by him. Maharaj Prithu is a Shaktivesh avatar, so we expect wonderful perfection from him, being the incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Maharaj Prithu now has done so many things. Established Vanashram Dharma, gotten so much praise and advice from so many personalities, including Sanat Kumara, one of the four Kumaras. That's the one that's the last one that's talked from where we reached now in Srimad Bhagavatam. So He has responded, giving so much praise, and even responded especially to the Brahmins, being and talked described the Brahmins as in fact the possessor of everything, that the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas really are the ones like the bank that's holding the Brahmins' money. And the Brahmins are like the ones that have the account. So whenever you go to a bank and you have an account, whenever you say you want some money, the bank has to give it to you. In the same way, Brahmins, so Maharaj Prithu basically changed the minds of people who thought that Brahmins just attend a program and the kings give gifts unto them. He said it's not like that. That's the way we think. But it's not like that. He said the Brahmins actually own everything. Therefore, at the end of the program, they have the right to whatever they want. And the kings and the merchants and the vaishyas have to give it to them. So it's not like the Brahmins have to beg. No, they're the owners. And the Kshatriyas are the keepers of the money, the wealth belonging to the owners. So then Brahmins really just simply demand. And so if the Vaishyas, that they don't give, the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas, they're wrong. That's what it amounts to. So that's a very, very wonderful way of now looking at gifts that come to Brahmins, so-called gifts. They're actually not, according to the way Maharaj Prithu explained it. That's one of the wonderful things that he said. Now he's preparing to go home, back to Godhead, that is. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, do a little bit of summary here for this particular chapter. So this chapter is chapter 23. So in the beginning, that is text 1, 2, 3, Maharaj Prithu is described, he has ruled the kingdom for a while. And as it happens to everybody, the body gets old. So he himself is getting old. And the great souls, when they're getting old, what they do is they go to the next stage where now they will stop the material part of their responsibilities and dedicate their lives fully to spiritual responsibilities. And usually what they do is they leave where they are to go to a place that they don't have much distraction. And that's usually the forest, okay, or the woods. And then they will just dedicate their lives fully. So this is what Maharaj Prithu got ready to do. He was the king of the world, but he divided whatever opulence he had among all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. He arranged pensions because he's getting ready to leave. So those who were required to get pensions according to religious principles, he did that for them. And then he also dedicated his sons to the earth. And then, as he continues, Maharaj Prithu then prepared to leave. And as you might imagine, the citizens loved him very much that it was very difficult to see him leave. Some of them were lamenting, some of them were crying. They were feeling separation from the king. The king hadn't even left yet. They were already feeling separation. But the king went with his wife Archie to go to the forest to perform austerities, making their lives totally dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when they were there, so they practiced what's called tapovana. The way they ate was very simple. They ate the trunks and roots of trees. Sometimes they would eat fruit. Sometimes they would eat dried leaves. And for some weeks, sometimes they would only drink water. So slowly they cut back from even the diet that was from the fruit and so on and stopped doing that. They went to only water and then they only breathed air. These days, we in these Kali Yuga bodies cannot breathe air alone and expect to survive for too long. Maybe those in the Himalayas, some of them may be doing that now, but those of us in the cities now in this world, we chant Hare Krishna. It's been made simple for us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Maharaj following, Maharaj Pitun, following the footsteps of the great sages, he then went to this process of austerities, accepting the five kinds of heating processes during the summer season, and in, when the rainy season came, he exposed himself to torrents of rain, and when he got cold, he would stand in water up to his neck. This is all explained in the chapters. This is text six of this particular chapter. Then he would also, no bed, he would lie down on the floor to sleep. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is a process for purification, for material contamination. Now, we got to understand something. Maharaj Pitu is a Shaktivesh avatar. The last thing he was materially contaminated. He wasn't. But he did this in order to teach everyone that was actually materially contaminated and wanted to purify and spend time fully devoted to the Bhakti Yoga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they have to go through that purification for real. Impure devotees have to go through. So he was just demonstrating what a retired person is supposed to do. So he's not contaminated at all. You cannot have the Supreme Personality of Godhead's incarnation being contaminated. It's not possible. So, Riddhi Maharaj, he underwent again to show what to do. He underwent severe austerities. He controlled his words. He controlled his senses. Even discharging semen, he stopped that. That simply means he remained celibate. The discharge of semen is for begetting children. Maharaj Pitu had already begotten children. And he went to the forest. So there's no point. His wife was there. No time to actually make new babies. Right? They were there to be fully dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there was no need to use any semen. So he stopped. And he also controlled the life air within his body. So he did all of this for satisfying Krishna. No other purpose. We should try very hard in everything that we do to have the aim to satisfy Krishna. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he's the source of everything material, of material and the spiritual. He says everything emanates from him. Now, if the Supreme Personality of God, and he says, well, not even says, he just reminds us, we know he's the creator, he owns everything. So in the Bhagavad Gita, he's telling Arjuna for our benefit, I am the source of everything material and spiritual. Let's not forget that the material also is for Krishna. Sometimes we are told so much, all right, now you have to deal with your spiritual activity. That's important. Yes, material activity to us is temporary. It's going to come, it's going to go, because death will actually end it. But let's not forget, even he owns that. Krishna owns the material too. Therefore, we should not abuse the material. We should not overdo the material. We should not overaccumulate the material. It's all said in the nectar of instruction. Over endeavoring, over all of that. That's even from the material standpoint. Krishna owns this, so we have to be very, very attentive to how much we use the material. Because that is also to satisfy Krishna. Everything emanates from me, Krishna says. Therefore, the wise who know this, they are careful to only dedicate their lives to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. And that's exactly what Maharaj Pitu is also doing here. All he did was for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose. So, for us in this age, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo nastieva, 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 gatir anyata. For us, the simple process, we don't go to the woods and do like Maharaj Pitu was doing. We can get the same credits by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maharaj Pitu, he practiced severe austerities. Gradually, he became steadfast in spiritual life. So this is all to show us how it's done. He was completely free of all desires for fruitive activities Again, his Shaktivesh avatar all of these years already was perfect, but he was doing it for our benefit. He also practiced breathing exercises. He controlled his mind, he controlled his senses, and he became completely free from all desires for freedom activity. And he followed the path of spiritual advancement like was set to him by Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara spent so many, the verses before this, you hear so much advice given by Sanat Kumara. So he took the advice. Same way, we don't read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam just to know it. We need to take the advice and live by it like he was doing. So he worshiped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But now we come to this text. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Text 10. So now, blending that in with what has been talked about before. So here he is. He engaged, this is now 10, in text 10. He engaged completely in devotional service. He executed the rules and regulations according to the principles 24 hours a day. The whole time he was there. Well, that's not too surprising. Of course, he had left the kingdom, so his whole time was dedicated to that. Feel like rubbing, he was like, not like Bhat Maharaj did and got distracted by the deer. So Maharaj Prithu and his wife Archie, also in the forest, now dedicated their lives 24 hours. So that increased his love and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If you do that, your love and your devotion will increase. And you will become very, very, very fixed and unflinching. So that's what happened to Prithu Maharaj. Now, the text, the chapter is about Prithu Maharaj going home. So after this, just we'll do a little synopsis of what happens to this. And basically, I'm talking about text 11 through text 13, because that's not for today's lecture. So I'll just say just a little bit about what happened to him until he got ready to go home. So, Maharaj Prithu's mind became transcendental, and he was constantly thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became completely detached. He was free from false ego and material concept of life. Then he realized Krishna sitting in everyone's heart, not just his heart, but everyone's heart, Paramatma. And then he gave up all other practices of yoga and jnana. And then when he got ready to give up his body, then he fixed his mind firmly on the lotus feet of Krishna and then gave up the material body and left. Some people may be surprised, he gave up a material body? Well, he's the incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead and he has a material body? The answer is yes. Yes, Prithu Maharaj was Jiva. Shaktivesh avatars, there are jivas in there too. So Prithu Maharaj was jiva. He was a person with a material body. Same thing with Lord Jesus. He's also a jiva. The Jesus of Christianity. He's also a jiva and a Shaktivesh avatar. He's also in that same category. So that's why we got to be careful. Just because the Christians don't know much does not mean that Jesus does not know much. It would be a huge, huge apparat if you think that way. Jesus is like a professor who taught kindergarten, because those people in kindergarten, they all were ready to only stay with kindergarten requirements. They did not want to renounce. They did not want to go by the regulated principles that we take literally as the rules that we do, but they don't want to get away from intoxication. They don't want to get away from gambling. They don't want to get away from illicit sex as defined by us. They don't want to get away from meat eating. So then what should Jesus do? If you don't do these things, you're not going to get higher knowledge. So he had the higher knowledge, but the people were staying in kindergarten, consciousness, not giving up all these. So then he taught them at the level that they could take. So never ever think that Jesus is low. Not at all. Not at all. He knows everything. Everything. He is, in fact, this is not me saying this. Srila Prabhupada saying this. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said it. Jesus is Shaktivesh avatar, but a jiva. So he left the material body just like the Preeti Maharaj is described for Preeti Maharaj, by being crucified, it was a real material body. But he is Shaktivesh avatar, and he just came to give mercy to people who did not want to go to transcendence. So then he taught them at the level that they can only get to mortal goodness. That's why they go into heaven. And we all know that if you do mortal goodness, the highest you can go to is a heavenly planet. And so he says, okay, I will take you to heaven. Because those who obey his rule and his commandments and the things that he taught them here, even though it's all at the material mortal goodness and not transcendence, and it doesn't mean he doesn't know transcendence now. He's teaching people who will only accept up to mortal goodness. And even that, some people were not following it and still aren't. They're in mortal passion, mortal ignorance, and say, well, his blood is going to save us. Well, how funny. How funny. He's already taught them. Yes, his blood, but that's only just icing on the cake. They're supposed to hear what he's taught them for 4 years. He only died in one afternoon. He spent so much time preaching. So those who don't take his preaching into consideration and live by it aren't going anywhere. They are not. Blood or no blood or death, they're not going anywhere. Only those who took him seriously, his preaching and his advice seriously, they're the ones that are going to go to the heavenly planet. It's in the Bible. It's clearly, he tells them, those people, when time comes that they have to go, and those people that didn't follow, but they say, oh, we know you, okay, your blood will save us. The response is there. Jesus says, I don't know you. That's how it's quoted in the Bible. I don't know you. So they're not going anywhere. Only those that take his preaching and his advice, we just put it that way simply, seriously, then he will take them to the heavenly planet. And as my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, explained to me, that's where he will begin to teach them transcendence. What we're learning now, what we're trying to live by now, because then those there will be prepared to live by the regulative principles. That's when they're going to get this teaching. Right here, they're not living by the regulative principles, so even if they could get it, it's their misfortune. They're not getting it because they don't live by the regulative principles, therefore they can't get transcendence. We're saying all of these so you can understand the mind of a typical Christian or a religionist, especially a Christian. That's where they are. That's where they've chosen to be. So it's not Jesus' fault. In fact, it is in John chapter 16, text 12. Jesus comes right out and tells them, I have much to tell you, but you're not ready to bear it. He said it plainly. I have much to tell you. There's more to tell you, but you guys aren't ready to bear it, which means you're not prepared. You're not living a transcendental life, which involves having to take care of all of these stuff. Live by the regulative principles and get rid of things like aparad, anattas, all of those. You're not ready to do so. How can he tell them anything higher? So basically, they tied his hands. So all he could do was give them mercy. All right, come to the heavenly planet. We still know it's in the material world. We still know it's in jail. And he knows that too. But at least that place, it is, the mode of passion and ignorance is not there so much. So it's cleaner for their minds. And then he began to teach them. So how fortunate we are to see the Prabhupada is taking us and teaching us. That also explains why so few people are devotees. Because so few people will take transcendence. Everybody else wants to do, sense gratification. This is not just Christianity only. Everybody's doing that. So Jesus gave mercy like that. But it's obvious from every, way people live in their life now. Very, very, very few people. And people are not dealing with this. Very, 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 very few people. The person who takes to Krishna consciousness is very rare. And because of that, we should be very respectful to devotees. We tend to think there's a lot of us, and then we say we do this, we do that, and all kinds of negative things. No, we are very, very, very few. In the first place, 400,000 types of bodies can understand Krishna, the human bodies. The total is 8,400,000. We know that. 8 million of them are not human bodies. They cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, 400,000 is only 4.75% of the total, 100%. So human body type is less than 5%. Less than 5% that can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And within the 5% of human body, how many people are devotees? So if you take a small fraction of 5%, well, you're looking at 0.00000 something percent for devotees. That's how few we are. And imagine offending people in that category, that very, very small category that Srimati Radharani is giving mercy to. How terrible it would be to do that. So we are very, 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 very few. It's already described in Bhagavad Gita, but not in the numbers that we've done in, like, you know, going to math to describe the same thing. The Lord said a devotee is very rare. Well, they're about 0.00000 something percent. That's why they're rare. And that's why you can't afford to be offending a person in that kind of category. You better not do that. We better not do that because we're going to be kicked badly. So now you know. Please don't criticize. Please don't get upset with people unnecessarily. Please use mild words when you're talking to a devotee. This is a very, very, very small percentage of people going to the spiritual world that have that chance. You better not mess up because then, hey, you asked for it. It's a very, very, very small percentage. My apologies if I'm going off a little bit by the way I'm describing. Okay? It's not my guru's fault. It's just me. But the point we're making is devotees are very, very special. Very, very, very special. And so we should take this process, the process itself, devotion, seriously. Now, if you think about it, very, very few people are here. And the demigods, those in the heavenly denizens, they understand this well. They know that the group of people, the percentage, that when you join them, you can go to the spiritual world from this earth planet, very, very few. And among them are very, very few Matajis. So the numbers get even smaller. Why we mention Matajis? They are the ones that can give birth to people in Krishna consciousness. So that small a number of a very small fraction of a very small fraction are the Matajis now. And they're the ones that can give birth to devotees. And these people, the denizens from some of them, from the heavenly planets who are tired of being there and they know the spiritual world is there, they want to come here because Srila Prabhupada has made things so simple and so easy. In Kali Yuga, the chanting is just a minimum of 16 rounds, which is only 25% of the total required. The total required for Vaishnava is 64 rounds. And we can chant only 16 rounds and get a chance to go back to Godhead. So those who are in the heavenly planets and are tired of that place and want to really go home, they see us as very, very fortunate. So they want to take birth here in the wombs of the devotee Matajis because they can't go into a Kami woman's womb because she's not interested in devotion. She's going to put you in a home that has all kinds of, you know, motor passion and motor ignorance stuff. That's not what they want. They want to go home. So not only do they even want goodness, they want a place where transcendence is, where the Hare Krishna mantra is being, in fact, propagated. And the Lord's Katha is being talked about. That's the only place they'll come. So they want to come. And how few women there are to give birth to them. And in these days, too, it's not like one woman gives birth to 10 children. Only 2, 3, 1. So how many of them can come? There's such a backlog of people who do want to come. So those of us who are here and are in the process now, how fortunate we are. If you don't take it seriously, you got your own self to blame. Because it is a very, very, very small minority of people that have that chance. So Matajis, you're very blessed. Another thing too is, we were thinking about it the other day. So devotees go out for book distribution, trying to make new devotees. They talk to people who are grown-ups. Not children, grown-ups. There's a reason we're talking about it that way. You go to grown-ups who are living Kami life and try to convince them. And if they're fortunate, the people are fortunate enough that they heard about Krishna consciousness, or in previous life they've done something that has earned the mercy of the Lord, then they will agree to Srila Prabhupada's instruction in Srila Prabhupada's lectures and therefore his books and so on, and take it. So very few people take it. That's why book distribution, we do sell books, but not that many compared to the 7 billion population here on this earth. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, Matajis, who are in ISKCON, they just give birth, and the person is a devotee right away. The baby is a devotee right away. You don't need to give him books. They just come and they immediately in the temple, and they're devotees. So all the children in our temple are devotees. You didn't need to convince them to go out and think anything to them. They just get born back. Everybody gets born, and they're immediately a devotee. Even before they are born, they are listening to bhajans and kirtans in the womb. You can't get that out of kami anywhere. So that service is extremely critical. Devotee Matajis are extremely highly blessed. Just giving birth. Just giving birth. They propagate Lord Chaitanya's vision and move it on forward. Just by giving birth. On the other hand, you have to go distribute so many books to grown devotees. That's why I said grown-ups. Hmm? To try to convince them. You don't convince anybody. You just give birth like that and they come. And they're devotees already. So that's why these denizens in the heavenly planets want to come and take birth in a devotee Mataji's womb. Because it's automatically in the spiritual environment. And that's what they want. They know there will be no chance of any mistake being made for them becoming devotees. So they don't prepare to be, be born somewhere else and hope for somebody to give them a book on it. No. They would rather take birth directly in the temple with a Mataji who is a devotee. And they immediately are in the process and they immediately get a chance to obey the regulated principles. They won't have to eat meat. They don't have to eat meat and then later on change to non-eating meat because the devotee Mataji is already obeying the regulated principles. So they won't be fed any meat. They won't be fed any alcohol. They won't be any of that. So they're clean right away as babies. So that's why those in the heavenly planets prefer this particular route. Go through a devotee Mataji to get pregnant, and they get born here, and they're going back to Godhead. So if all of this is being done, how much more those of us who are in Krishna consciousness now, how can we play with this? When those in the heavenly planets are struggling to get a chance to wait to a Mataji that will give birth to only one of them, or two of them, or three of them, not 10 or 15 or 500, just a few. So if we are messing up, we're not taking this seriously, how much of a mistake we're making. So please, let's take this chanting extremely, extremely seriously. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Alright, so we're going to stop here. We can add a whole lot more, but I think a whole lot more has already been said through the mercy of the parampara. I'm only a person that shares. I'm not the one that brings these ideas out. I pray to my Guru Maharaj, I pray to Srila Prabhupada, and what they use me for and what they ask me to say, then I say. Hare Krishna. So let's stop here and then open up for discussion. So here is the text again. Prita Maharaj is showing who a devotee should be. We talked about what he did before up to this point, text 10. And even text 11, 12, and 13, just a little bit about it, up to when he went back to Godhead. Devoting his life fully. He's here, he's very rich, and then he leaves all the wealth, and then sets up everything, prepare, and then he goes with his wife Archie with nothing. A very, very, very rich, in this world now, we call him a trillionaire. Not even mind a billionaire. So much money was there at the time. We are broke now. Billionaires are not rich compared to the way it was before. We just, compared to us, they have so much money. But compared to Maharaj Preacher's time and, Arjun, and they had nothing. You don't have much at all. You don't have much at all. They were extremely wealthy. The whole Kurukshetra War, you can imagine, gold was used to decorate the horses for 640 million people with gold decorated horses. How much money is that? You can't even count it. And Krishna arranged for that much gold to be given. Junior was requesting, how do we get it? Krishna showed where you can get that much gold, but there were that many hundreds of millions with gold on them. Can you imagine how much money that is? That's just one Kurukshetra war. One war. And it was like this. So we are broke. Don't think of billionaires. Billionaires are poor people compared to that time, the way they were. So just take things seriously. Hare Krishna is the best thing. Being a billionaire, Krishna doesn't even take you seriously. You're just a materialist, that's all. There's nothing wonderful about billionaires. They are paupers compared to Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj Prithu engaged himself completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to the principles 24 hours daily. And then his love and devotion, that's the real wealth. Love and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It became steady and fixed. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. So now let's unmute the phones, *6, and have a discussion. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
Very nice class, Guruji. Very
Krishna's mercy.
You mentioned. But I heard, sometime, in Christianity, is there any hell or just heaven only? Because from what I was told by some of my friends, they say, okay, there is only heaven. So they will always go to the heaven with their dog also.
Prabhu.
Can you explain a little bit?
Prabhu, they are so confused, it's not funny. They are so confused, it's not funny. They don't know much. You can't blame them. They don't have transcendence. How do they know that there's so many hells? They don't know. They don't know Yamaraj. They don't know Chitragupta. They don't know the Yamadutas. How would they know anything? How would they know anything? They didn't want to renounce so that Jesus would teach them. So how do they know? They don't know anything. Jesus is just being merciful to them and taking them to heavenly planet to teach them all these things. They are so confused. And then they think they know better than everybody else. If you don't go to heaven, you're lost. And then they say, I'll come to your question. And you worship lower gods. If they see Krishna, they say, you got to feel sorry for them, that's all. But again, you don't offend them because that is the situation they're in. Yes, there is. The heavenly planets, that it's part of every every system. Every universe has a bunch of heavenly planets and then the medium planet and lower planet. We already know that. All of the words that end in T-A-L-A, Tala, Pataloka, they are all hellish planets. You don't even need to go through all of that. So a typical Christian is confused. They don't understand that. They think heaven is only one. We know we have 14 planetary systems, and those ones above the Earth, they're all heavenly planets. Yet they think it's just one, because Jesus is actually taking them to one heavenly planet, so they think it's only one heaven that's there. But their Bible says the Lord created heavens and the Earth. In the Bible, it's plural, heavens and the Earth, and they still don't get it. So, you just be nice to them, because I already called them kindergarten earlier. You heard me, okay? But my Guru Maharaj made me describe them like that. How much kindergarten people know? It won't work. So that is the issue. The issue is they are at the level that they are at, so they will assume all kinds of things because they're not living a life of renunciation from these things. Even though they're adults, then Jesus can't teach them much. And so if you're not taught much, how are you going to know? You can get confused so easily. So that's the problem they're in. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? That does not mean you offend them, though, because they have souls just like us. It's just that the bodily, they're unfortunate, but we are not better than them at the spiritual level. They have souls. All entities have souls. But mentally, they put themselves in that situation because they did not really take up what Jesus was. He could have told them transcendence easily. They elected not to. You know, yeah, Jesus was very renounced. It's in the Bible. They're very renounced. Living like a Vaishnava. Even more renounced than we are. And all these apostles. So they were okay. But the masses of the people, not the license gratification. So he didn't teach them. You can't teach people who are not ready. That's all. That's why he said you're not ready to bear it. Because you're not prepared. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So, any other comments, questions? So if you learn something, don't put Jesus down. It's not his fault. These people are the way they are. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, any other questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, madam pranam to you.
Thank you
so much for the wonderful class. I know I've
been
talking to
you
a long time. But it was so nice hearing you today. Prabhuji, like, you know, you mentioned in your class that, you know, like, Prithu Maharaj in the beginning, he was saying he left this, he left food and bark of the tree and all that he was having.
Yeah.
But in today's Kali Yuga, you know, chanting of the holy name, we cannot do that, go to the forest and leave all these things. It's not possible. But I wanted to ask one thing, like, so when Prithu Maharaj was doing this, and of course, he was, you said, this thing of Krishna, one of the incarnation or some word you used.
Saktivesh Avatar.
But so when did in which yuga this happened? I mean, it is not all this didn't happen in the Kali Yuga, right? Because Kali Yuga the only dharma is to chant the Lord's name.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It didn't happen in Kali Yuga. I'm not sure which Yuga, but definitely it was not Kali Yuga. But Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name. Yeah. Now, well, there were sacrifices. You can kind of go back to the, because here, even if you don't know directly, and I'm not speculating, but because Satya Yuga, there's meditation. Then Treta Yuga, there is Yagya. Then Dwapar Yuga, there is deity worship. And Kali Yuga, there is chanting of the holy name. So it's always dangerous to speculate. But we're just doing by process of elimination. So it can't be Kali Yuga because of chanting. The Bhagavatam doesn't say much about deity worship either in Maharaj Prithu's time. So being careful, still I have to say, maybe it was not Dwapar Yuga either. You know, just by the way people lived. But normally I don't like to be boxed in a corner like that, because even if it's not said in Srimad Bhagavatam, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Okay, that's why it's kind of dangerous to speculate. And so I wouldn't even go any further on that. Because it's not said there, that does not mean that, you know, we don't, that thing was not going on. And the reason that supports this statement we just made was, you can say Kali Yuga, chanting of the holy name, Dwapar Yuga, deity service, but we are in Kali Yuga and doing both deity service and chanting the holy name. We're doing both. So are we in Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga at the same time? Obviously not. Okay, so that's why it's so dangerous to speculate. Because deity worship is going on, but that is the Yuga time for Dwapar Yuga. Now, and we're doing it in Kali Yuga. So, basically, I have to go around this. I'm not sure about the question, because there can always be that, you know, uncertainty about what was going on using the Yuga Dharma to try to find out what the age was. So, best that I don't do that, okay? Because Kali Yuga itself now, 5,000 years into Kali Yuga, and we're still doing some of the things in Dwapar Yuga, which is, not at the high level that they used to do in terms of the preparation. And so much wealth went into preparation for deity service in Dwapar Yuga. We don't have that kind of money. But the deity is here. The deity is not, it doesn't depend on money. Krishna is Krishna. And so the deity worship is still going on. But it's Kali Yuga, which is supposed to be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's a long way of saying, I'm going to have to back away from that question, because it's not so easy to answer it, unless somebody else knows. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sorry, but that's, you know, I can't make up Shastra myself.
Sorry, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. No, that's okay. That's okay. Just. That's okay. That's okay.
Thank you so much for the answer, Prabhuji. Like, you know, when you were talking in the beginning, it just reminded me of Dhruva Maharaj. Although Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest.
Yes.
And he was doing this because his mother had guided him so.
Yes.
Right?
Well, both of them.
He left everything and then Vishnu came in front of him. And then we read in Bhagavatam only that he came in front and then suddenly, you know, like Lord is in our heart. He opened his eyes.
He saw him.
So nicely he was contemplating.
Uh-huh.
In the heart that when like Vishnu came in stood in front, he was like, he woke up and then, you know,
yeah.
We heard that. So, but that was like when, you know, he was under the guidance of his guru, Narada Muni, right?
Yes.
Narada Muni, in his guidance. But here, like, why will he want to leave everything? Prithu Maharaj.
That is...
Why is he leaving everything and doing all these austerities?
That is so that... he can turn his full attention to serving in Bhakti Yoga. When you're a king, you have administrative duties. That's material. And he spends a good bit of his time doing that. Now, he is a pure devotee of the Lord. He would want to 24 hours, you know, if he had that opportunity, to dedicate all of that to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's a king. And king, you have to deal with the people, you have to deal with material things. And pure devotees yearn, they always yearn to have 100% of their time devoted to Krishna. And so the best way to do that, you know, the best compromise in that situation is to rule for a while. When you get older, it's all right, now I can leave. You guys, you know, take this, take that, you set up, and now I'm going to do what I really, really should be doing and my heart wants to do, and that is serve Supreme Personality of Godhead full time. Now, the other thing is, if Prithu Maharaj, just imagine, he's a king, if he stayed where even he said, I'm retired. Okay, I'm retired. Somebody else is the king. And he stayed still in the city. Won't people still come to him and say, oh, Prithu Maharaj, because you know this, you know this. Yes, I know you are the ex-president or ex-emperor, but I need this material thing. I need this. Give me advice on this material thing. They will distract him still with material things. So the only way to do this is get away from the people altogether. And that's the forest, because the animals won't distract him. So it's just, you know, basically, if you look at it, it's a common sense thing to do. Everything, if you want to be totally, totally dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can't stay among people who will come to you with material things, even when you're retired. So then he had to get out. First of all, and then second, what does he need? Everything is owned by Krishna. This is the material world. You can't take anything with you when you die. So why should he take anything with him to the forest? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. So then he went with his wife. His wife understands that too. So they took nothing. And they depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead to live. It's plain and simple. Everything belongs to the Lord. If the Lord wants to give him anything in the forest, he can. He can. But they themselves are renounced. They want renunciation. Therefore, the Lord didn't give them anything because that's what they wanted. Renunciation. So they lived very simply. And then they got away from the distractions of the material questions and administration, all of that in the city, and got away. And this is how they were able to live totally without any distraction from material people. Hare Krishna. So that was the best thing to do.
Yes, Prabhuji, and so for our take in this world, that we should chant very purely. That's all we can do. We don't have to leave anything to eat and all that.
We chant.
Of course, we have to eat to maintain our body and soul together, but, you know, like, water is good to take, but, like, the main thing is that we have to chant nicely so we can also, like, connect more, you know,
yes,
to the spiritual world, to Krishna, and so that way we can progress and... if we chant truly, then Krishna will always be in our heart, and when materialistic people are around also, we will be able to give association rather than take from them.
Yes.
So that's what we understand. Okay.
You've said it very nicely, and that's why we should realize, if you think about what the statement you made, how much easier it has been made on us. We don't go to the forest. We don't do all of these kind of things. We don't even stay away from material things. We eat still very nicely, not leaves and all of that, and see we can go back to Godhead. How much more of a break do we want? See how much has already been given to us? Hmm? We can stay in the city. We can just chant, only chant Hare Krishna. It's the easiest thing to do. But the Lord has put all his energies in, as Lord Chaitanya says, in the Hare Krishna mantra. So you chant it and you have Krishna. And you don't have to go do any kind of austerities, any arrangements to get out. And go. Just imagine this today, if you made that kind of arrangement to get out to go to the forest. And how can you survive anyway? What do you know about the forest? There's snakes and all those kind of things. So we've been given a chance to get away from all of this and still chant only one quarter of a round and still go back to Godhead. Now, what more do we want as a break? So much has been given compared to, you know, Maharaj Prithu, who is Shaktivesh Avatar, and he still did it like that. And we don't have to. So the statement you made is very, 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 very important. We should realize that we've been given a huge break to stay in the city and still go back to Godhead. So if we don't take advantage of it, well, what else can we say? Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Thank you, Prabhupada. Our heartiest thanks to Lord Chaitanya.
Yes!
Coming up next week, and also to our, loving, grandfather, actually, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Yeah, so see, now you could put the Lord Chaitanya's activities in perspective, how much mercy was given. I mean, it's bottomless. There's no end to the mercy he gave compared to now, you know, everything that people have to go through, and that the rounds are low, and, you know, you just don't get out of the city, and so much. And then he came to enthuse people. The Lord himself did this with the Radharani combination. Did this. So, listen, we got it made. We just have to understand that and take it seriously. So, yeah, so much mercy. I mean, uncountable. You just can't even imagine how much mercy has been dumped on us. Hare Krishna. Any other comments?
Yes, Prabhupada, we had heard Bhakti is very, very tough, but, like Radha and Krishna combined together with Lord Chaitanya, it's much easier. Actually, the whole credit ultimately goes to Radharani only.
Well, she's the mother of devotion. She's a personal, and the whole life is about Bhakti Yoga. But Radharani and Krishna are the same anyway. They are. So, you know, this he divided himself for his pleasure into Radharani and Krishna. But he's actually one. So, you know, when he came now in a merciful form, decided not to kill any demons like that, but basically deal with our minds and turn our minds. Krishna can do everything. So he decided he's going to turn our minds rather than kill. And, you know, the demons, demonic activity was all changed mentally this time. No weapons. Again, another mercy that he showed. Hare Krishna. Any other comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up.
One question. I think I heard that when Prithu Maharaj went to the forest, his wife, Mother Archie, also accompanied him.
Yes.
So, going to the forest means he was accepting Vanaprastha, right? So, in Vanaprastha times, a wife can also be with her husband.
You have to understand something. Things have been made very simple for us. We can't compare ourselves to Maharaj Prithu and Archie and how they did things. For us, the Varna and the Ashrams have been simplified for us. So there's no need to go into Vanapras, whether the wife is with, you know, or wife is not, and so on. What Srila Prabhupada has told us is what we follow. And for Vanapras, sometimes the wife is not with the husband. Sometimes the wife is with the husband. After all, they're not going to the forest anyway. You know, to go do what Prithu Maharaj and Archie did. So we can't compare ourselves. That, you know, I wouldn't attempt to compare. Let me speak for myself. I wouldn't attempt to compare Vanapras now with the way, you know, it's like with Prithu Maharaj and Archie and their Vanapras. We have a simplified situation here. Everything is simplified for us. Okay, so we just go by what Srila Prabhupada says, and that's all. Not really wrap our minds around what Prithu Maharaj and Archie are doing, because we're not at that level. Hare Krishna. I mean, I'd be careful to stay away from that. Because we are given the mercy, that's all. So go by what Srila Prabhupada said. Don't worry too much about was this like this, was this like this. No, we have been given so much mercy. We don't chant even but 16 rounds. So who are we anyway? Hare Krishna. No offense to you. Just, you know, just be careful, that's all. Any other questions? Hare Krishna. Okay, I guess we can stop here. Manila Prabhu?
Yes, Guruji.
Hare Krishna. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Prabhu.
Guru's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Jai, Hare Prabhu.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.